Okay. I want to acknowledge our sponsors again this week, Jake and Karen Abelevitz, sponsoring our lunch and our learn. And it should all be Ilui Nishmas, Jake's parents, Eliyahu ben Abba, and Leah Bas Avraham. And so this week's Parsha is Parshas Chayei Sarah. And there's quite a bit here. I just want to focus really on one almost seemingly inconsequential piece of it. And that is, towards the end of the Parsha, page 120. We have here the story in Chayei Sarah, primarily is about the shidduch, if you will, between Yitzchak and Rivka, and Eliezer's journey to find this wife for Yitzchak.
Can you say
the character? It's chapter 24. Chaf Dalet. We're going to take a look at Pasuk 63. So 24:63. So just as an aside, and this is not our topic, it doesn't say anywhere in our Parsha that the servant of Avraham was actually Eliezer. Eliezer is identified by Chazal as this Eved Avraham. But that's just a side point. What I want to focus on is not even the story of Avraham sending Eliezer, or Eliezer finding Rivka, or Eliezer's relationship and his discussions with the family of Rivka, or Rivka's involvement in this process. But I want to take a look all the way at the very end, and this seems almost inconsequential. The Torah tells us, Pasuk 63, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh Lifnos Arev. Vayisayina Vayar Vihineg Malim Baim. Let's see, so how does the art scroll translate this? And Yitzchak went out Lasuach Basadeh, or if you're using a different English version, what does Lasuach Basadeh mean? He went out to
converse in the field.
He went out to converse in the field. So, so art school here says to supplicate in the field. That's a little different than conversing, right? What translation are you using? Okay. It's also art scroll. Okay, all right. So art scroll in the mini edition says to converse, and art scroll in the five.
Rashi.
What?
Rashi says to converse.
Oh, Rashi says to converse. Okay, that's.
No, actually.
Okay, so your translation says to converse, and so it's a machlokes art scroll. Art scroll in the mini version says to converse. Art scroll in the big, you know, in the stone edition says to supplicate. Okay, is anybody using a Hertz?
No.
Anybody have a Hertz?
Yeah. Okay, I have one right over here, so I'm just gonna pull one out. Let's see, the Hertz Chumash says, drum roll, please. All right. 24:63, Hertz Chumash says, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field. Okay, so we have to converse, to supplicate, and to meditate. Three possible translations of this word. But what is clear, just for starters, as this is a hard word to translate, because we have three different translations of it. So Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh, he goes out to do something in the field, supplicate, meditate, converse. Vayisayna vayar v'hineg malim bayim. And he looks up and he sees the camels coming. Vatisa Rivka eseineha. Rivka's on one of those camels. She lifts her eyes. She looks at Yitzchak and she falls from the from her animal. Vatomer la eved mi'aish alazeh. Who is that man who's coming to greet us? And he says, who it is. And the story concludes. Apparently, they get married and live, I don't want to say happily ever after, because it depends on your read of the story, but they live together with an interesting life's journey. Okay, so the question which I want to start with, the big question that I want to talk about here is, what is the meaning of this word, Lasuach Basadeh? We're going to take a detour to discuss really a totally different topic And then we'll come back to this at the end. Related, but different topic. So well,
Isn't it about tefillah? Isn't it about that Abraham is responsible for Shacharis and Yitzchak is responsible for Mincha and Yaakov responsible for Arvi?
So it depends who you ask.
And of course, in fact, actually, Chazal say that the second letter of each name reflects such. Abraham, it's the bed is Boker, Yitzchak, it's Saharayim, and Yaakov, it's Era.
Good. So let's take a look at what the at some of the commentaries here. So Rashi on your page. Sorry, some of these are a little out of order. So you can even if you're looking at the Chumash, you can see the Chumash. But Rashi on the bottom of page 2 on your booklet, Rashi says, and this is the Hertz, right? The Hertz said it was to meditate. So Rashi says, Lasuach is lashon tefillah. Kimo yishpoch sicho, which means lashon tefillah, sicha means to pray. And then citing another pasuk that tells us that sicha means prayer, a pasuk in Tehillim, le'ani ya'atof kimo yishpoch sicho, that the downtrodden sort of pour out their speech to God. So siach means speech, right? Well, that was one of the translations, conversation. But Rashi, citing the Medrash and the Gemara, suggests that this is Yitzchak praying. So Yitzchak is praying lifnot arev in the evening time. So we're going to take a little trip over here to discuss the question of Yitzchak's prayer, of Yitzchak's tefillah. And Yitzchak's tefillah, as Brian pointed out, apparently is the afternoon prayer, which is Mincha, which is Mincha, and if you look, let's see here. So take a look at page 3. So okay, so Lasuach apparently is Yitzchak's prayer of Mincha. Yitzchak's prayer of Mincha. So, take a look at the bottom of page 3. Tosfot and Psachim ask the following question. Say, Tema, Amai Kari Le Mincha? Why, in fact, is Mincha called Mincha? Right, so why is Shacharis called Shacharis? Because Shachar means the dawn, it's morning, so it makes sense that it would be called Shacharis. Why is Mariv, Arvit, called Mariv? Erev means the nighttime. Why is Mincha called Mincha? So it's a good question. Mincha doesn't mean afternoon. Brian pointed out that the tzadi in Yitzchak's name, Tzaharayim, Yitzchak's name, sort of reminds us of the afternoon prayer. Tzaharayim is afternoon. So if Shacharis is Shacharis and Maariv is Maariv, so the Mincha should have been called like Tzohar or something like that. So why, in fact, is it called Mincha? So Tosfos says, "Di mishum Mincha haisa kreva bein ha'arbayim." Perhaps it is because there was an offering in the Beis Hamikdash when they gave the afternoon offering. They gave a carbon, an animal sacrifice, but along with that animal sacrifice came something called a carbon Mincha, which is a grain offering. So maybe that's why it is. And that would make good sense. However, he says, it's not such good sense. Ki halo gam b'shachar kreva minchas chavitin u'minchas tamid. Because by Shacharis, there's also a carbon mincha. So we could call Shacharis mincha. Why are we calling mincha mincha? Right? If it's based after the mincha offering, then Shacharis might have been called mincha as well. Or it doesn't seem to be unique to the afternoon carbon. So why would we call Mincha Mincha when it is not really anything unique to that period of time? So Tosos offers two answers. Tosos says that Mincha is called Mincha. So possibly number one because it is based on the grain sacrifice, the grain offering. Rejects that. And then he suggests, and they suggest, Ve'od v'yeshlomar b'shachar yeshem acher, tefillah shachris. So he basically gives a very sort of practical answer. He says, well, you know, Shachris already had a name. So they, you know, they chose Shachris for Shachris. So Mincha was opened. So they used Mincha for Mincha. You know, but they could have equally called Shachris Mincha as well. So that's a, you know, that certainly is a valid answer, but it doesn't really give us much insight into the nature of the tefillah, right? Shachris is the morning prayer, and that reflects something about it. Mariv is the evening prayer, and the name says something about it. So you would think that Mincha is not just called Mincha because it happens to be an open name, you know, which hasn't been used yet, right? You know, when you have to name a kid, so you go around the family, you know, who hasn't been named after yet? All right, we'll take that, right? So Mincha wasn't, if it was just an open name, it doesn't really share with us much insight into the nature of this tefillah, into Yitzchak's tefillah. So perhaps there's another answer. And Tosos then offers, Ve'od Damrina, Beperakama de Brachos, perhaps this is, there's another reason here. Because if you look in the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara says, "Have a zahir, excuse me, betfilas mincha." One should be very scrupulous about davening mincha. Why? Or how? Why should one be so scrupulous in davening mincha? It says because it's a prayer you don't want to miss. Why don't you want to miss mincha? Sha'af Eliyahu lo ne'ena ela betfilas mincha. Anybody or everybody remember the story of Eliyahu on Mount Carmel? Right, so Eliyahu, I think on Mount Carmel there's a five-star spa these days in Israel that everybody talks about.
Oh, yeah.
Right, you know what I'm talking about? I forgot what it's called. Yeah, there's like maybe it's called the Carmel Spa. I don't know. So everybody, I haven't had the zchus of being there yet. Right, but before the spa was there, the five-star spa, Eliyahu and the false prophets, the Nevi'ei Habal, were present, and there's the great showdown between Eliyahu and the false prophets, and Eliyahu and you know they're claiming to be the true prophets, and he's claiming to be the prophet of Hashem, and so the Nevi'ei Baal, the prophets of Baal, are given first shot at this showdown, and they set up their mizbeach, their altar, they put out their sacrifices, they call up to their deity, and nothing happens. Then Eliyahu does the same thing, and he even sets the house against himself. You know, he puts water around it, so you know he couldn't be accused of having anything up his sleeves, all right? And he calls up to Hashem, and Hashem responds. And this was in the afternoon time, and the Gemara says one should be scrupulous and not want to miss davening mincha. Because af Eliyahu lo ne'ena ela betfilas mincha, because Eliyahu himself was God responded to Eliyahu's demands, to Eliyahu's need, to Eliyahu's prayer at mincha time, and not you know a month later or a week later or when God might necessarily have thought it appropriate. Eliyahu asked and God responds. B'shema b'shas ha'akravas mincha ne'ena u'lekach kari le'tvilas mincha sha'az haya sha'as ratzon. So mincha is called mincha in the second answer of Tosafot in order to remind us of the fact that this is a very special time of day for some, I don't know, mystical reasons, but we see that Eliyahu himself was responded to by God in this mincha time period. And therefore, to sort of connect us back to the story of Eliyahu and the significance of his being of God responding to him, we call it Mincha. Okay, to connect back to that. But I think it's more than just telling us that you know Eliyahu prayed at this time and he was answered. But by calling it Mincha in Tosos' second answer, Tosos is creating this very, it's the Talmud, is creating this linkage between Mincha and Eliyahu and the story of Eliyahu. So, does this give us some, can we think of an insight that this gives us to the nature of Mincha? Right? If the rabbis are connecting the Mincha to the story of Eliyahu, so perhaps the quality, the tone, the texture of this tefillah is somehow meant to impart to us a message related to Eliyahu. When we think of Mincha, we should be thinking of Eliyahu. So, what can you know? What do you think about that? Is there something that that is sort of you know, other than the fact that Eliyahu was responded to, you know? Because in fact, there were a lot of people in Tanakh that were God called them out and responded to them. You know?
Would there have been some quality of Eliyahu first?
All right, what do you want to say?
I don't know. I know. This
usually, when you don't know, it's a pretty good answer.
Something back there, but I'm not retrieving it. Right. Something that I remember hearing.
Okay. So, do we know anything about Eliyahu? Yeah.
He was on the run from the queen, wasn't he?
Right. So Eliyahu was in fact somebody who was on the run, and he was greatly challenged. And in fact, even after this amazing feat that he did, calling down a miracle from heaven on the spot, saved him from the queen's wrath for precisely 24 hours. She sent a message to him tomorrow. You have to, you know, get out of town, get out of Dodge by midday tomorrow. And I don't remember exactly the source for this, but I heard this once, that what we see from this is that, you know, miracles and all of that don't really hold a person's faith too long. Isabel understood that in the moment, Eliyahu was untouchable. But 24 hours later, people would already be thinking, "Oh, was it really what I saw? You know, was it? You know, maybe there's a natural explanation for it." So miracles can only get you so far. And so the story of Eliyahu teaches us in a very profound way that what is really significant is not having faith based on the based on the wow factor of the moment, but, you know, real faith is something which goes over sort of a long haul.
So there's a wow factor in the morning, and there's a wow factor at night when you see those two, but the afternoon, meh.
Right. I think that's a good way to say it, meh. Okay, M-E-H, meh. Right. I think that's precisely correct. That and I'll take your comment in a second. And I think that's true. In the morning, you know, you have the gusto of the dawn and the vitality of a new day, and there is a wow factor in the sun rising and waking up, you know, and there is something, if not maybe a wow factor, but there is something profound about the depth of night. But the afternoon is just the run of the mill. It's the run of the mill. People are going here, there, the other place. It's just the run of the mill. So, Mincha, you know, Shachris and Mariv, and let's leave even Mariv out for a second, but even if you want to include that, Shachris is a moment in time that is naturally prayer-worthy. Mariv is a time which is also naturally prayer-worthy. But Mincha is the time which is not intuitively prayer-worthy. It's the run of the mill. And that is precisely what, you know, I think by calling Mincha, Mincha, is saying that really the run of the mill, if you think about it, should also be the wow factor. You know, there was a movie I saw years ago. I think it was called The Paper. It's about a newspaper guy. Anybody saw that movie? I think it was called The Paper. And there was a fellow who was writing for a newspaper, and the relationship of him and his wife, and the line was, you know, "I'll always be there for you," he said to his wife. And at some point she was pregnant and about to give birth, and she went into early labor, and he wasn't there. And and the musser that she had for him afterwards was, you know, it's not about the big moments. The big moments come here. It's all about the small moments. That's what life is. Life is a conglomeration of millions of tiny moments. The big moments happen here, there, and that's Mincha. So let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Have a zahir b'mincha." A person should be scrupulous about praying Mincha. Because meaning that a person should find meaning and purpose and invest meaning and purpose into the regular part of life. If you just wait for those big moments, I mean, it's not nothing, but it is. But it's missing. It's really missing the essence of life. So Mincha teaches us, just from connecting it to Eliyahu, a very important lesson. Okay, let's take a look at a different approach. On the same page 3 in your booklets, take a look at the Abu Drum. The Abu Drum was one of the earliest codifiers of the Siddur, of the halachas of the Siddur. And in the middle of his discussion of the halachas of Mincha and Maariv, he writes the following in the middle of page 3. V'nikreis zos hatfila mincha, mipnei shebesha asiris min hayom, shenivra bo adam harishon, chata. The reason this is called mincha is because in the 10th hour of the day, starting from the morning, 10 hours in the day, it means the afternoon, at this period of time, this is when Adam HaRishon sinned. And the Pasuk says, let's look at the Pasuk. It is in Bereishis. Let's look when Adam HaRishon sins. And let's take a look where he sins. Page 16. Okay? So the Pasuk says, page 16, it's chapter 3, Pasuk 8. So, they ate from the Eitz Hadas, and they realized that they needed a tailor pretty quickly. Vayishmu es kol Hashem Elokim mishalech bagan. They heard God's presence wafting about in the garden. Leruach hayom. Leruach hayom. I don't know exactly what that means. The spirit of the day, right? So let's go to Art Scroll. The stone edition says towards evening. What does your Art Scroll say? You don't have that one, all right? I said chapter 3, Pasuk 8. Chapter 3, 8. Okay. All right, let's see what Dr. Hertz has to say on this.
Cool of the day.
What do you have? The
cool of the day.
Right, sort of when the sun is already going down. Right? Okay, so L'ruach means the cool of the day, or L'ruach Hayom, the spirit of the day. L'ruach Hayom meaning the end of the day. What do you have there? 3:8. They heard the sound of Hashem.
Yeah?
Yeah? Can you read it out loud?
Next page.
You got it? What does it say? Okay. Morty, what do you got there?
The
Sefer. The Sefer, okay. Just read the whole pasuk. Pasuk 8. Okay, if you find it, you can let me know. All right. So he heard the voice of God towards the end of this day. Vayichabe Adam Ishvishto, and they hid from God, and then God confronts them, etc. So the Abu Drum says, in Targum, the Aramaic translation of the word Leruach Hayom is Lemanach Yoma. Lemanach Yoma. Which means as the day is sort of calming down, right?
Even
cooling.
Going towards the direction of the sun.
Ah, okay, great. Another machlokas, the two art scrolls. So we have here toward evening, and over there you have toward the direction of the sun. Right, and both of these are reflections of different perushim. Leruach hayom, ruach can mean the direction. So he was in the direction of the sun, which is in the west. Right, the sun is setting in the west, or God was in the west and he was hiding from God in the east. Right? Various interpretations, but okay. So we you said in the cool of the day. Cool of the day is also, that's like as the sun is setting, it's like everything is just calming down at that point. Okay, so that's what the Abu Drum says. It's called Mincha because Mincha reminds us of the Aramaic word Manach. The Aramaic word Manach is the translation of the word Leruach Hayom, which gets us to the Pasuk when Adam and Chava sin. So aside from that circuitous route, which is a problem in and of itself, you might ask yourself the question, why, in fact, would the namers of Mincha want to make Mincha remind us of Adam and Chava sinning. The sin of Adam and Chava. Right? That's right. The sin of Adam and Chava. I mean, that if I were naming Mincha, I think I would probably not want to name it after a sin. You know, come to shul. Well, actually, maybe it's a good way to, you know, drum up shul going. Come to shul. There's lots of sinning that goes on here. You know, it might...
It's the aftermath of the sin.
Ah, it's the aftermath of the sin. Okay.
Something's wrong here. It's the aftermath of your God.
Right. Okay. So, in fact, I think that is correct. That it's not actually the sin of Adam that is being reflected here. It is the aftermath of the sin. Mm-hmm. And the particular pasuk says that they heard this voice of God going through the garden. Vayitchabe ha'adam v'ishto mipnei Hashem elokim. And they hid from Hashem. Did Adam and Chava believe that they could hide from God? I don't think so. Assuming that they understood... I mean, just taking the understanding of the text internally, I don't believe Adam and Chava had an issue with belief in God, and I certainly don't think that they misunderstood, God speaking, that God is God. So, what does it mean that they were hiding from Hashem? It can't mean that they were hiding from Hashem. So, the Vayitchabe here is that they were hiding in shame. Right? When a person is ashamed, they're embarrassed, you cover your face. You don't think that the other person doesn't see you, but you're embarrassed. What was that? What were you saying, Karen?
You wish you could disappear.
Right, you wish you could disappear. Right?
Yeah. I just noticed a point that this may not be related. Vishmuit ko Hashem mifalech looking for. And it's like his voice they notice his voice in the God.
Right.
And it's like, who is he talking to? So they just became aware that, wait, there's God out there.
Right. So they hear God. It's not right. It's not even that he's looking for them, but they hear him, and they want to just hide in shame. Okay. So why is Mincha, why does the Abu Dram say that we go through these gymnastics to get from Mincha to the sin of Adam and Chava? Because it's not the sin of Adam and Chava. It's actually just after the sin of Adam and Chava, when they have a moment of clarity, of reflection, and as a consequence, shame. That shame is only as a consequence of their having an awareness that what they did was wrong. What they did was wrong. So Mincha, the Abu Dram says, connects us to this conscious awareness of who we are. So why is that more? Why would the Abu Dram want to make that? Why does it make sense, or what's the sense of drawing that connection to Mincha, like more than Shacharis or Maariv? I'll go back to
It's during the day that you're going about your life. Wake up in the morning, haven't done anything yet. Maybe at Maariv you're also back. You're retracting from the door, but. It's during the day that we're out in the world and we're vulnerable to sinning or whatever.
Right. So I think that's precise. That's precisely correct. Yes.
For most people, it's the hardest trick to say, because you're up in the morning before you get started, you can go down the chakras, evening you have a long standing. If you're not admired within the day, you're busy, it's the hardest prayer to really get time. You have to cut yourself off from what you're doing.
Right.
Go and make that clear.
Right, precisely. Yeah, Brian?
I was thinking that at that point, if you wake up in the morning, you haven't done anything. Mm-hmm. It's about that time of the day because you had the opportunity to accomplish what you had for the day. So it's a reflection.
It's reflection. Okay, good. So.
Because you're not doing it as soon. I mean, you wake up in the morning, you're starting to roll down. Right. So you haven't done anything yet.
Right. So in the morning, you haven't done anything yet. Also, you could say that in the morning, you have that vim and vigor. Today's going to be a better day than yesterday. You know, wherever my failings were yesterday, today is going to be better than that. And at the and again, if you want to bring Maariv into it, so Maariv is a time when it's dark out and it's and it may be even a time, you know, where people are a little afraid. You know, you don't have to really inspire people to reflection at these points in time. But Mincha is the middle of the day, and Mincha is a time when it demands it, with the hardest time for reflection. Right? We got up in the morning, and today we were going to do X, Y, and Z. And today I was going to be better in these various ways. And Mincha is the time of just after the Cheder. Maybe I didn't meet the mark that I intended for myself today. And in the middle of the day, or maybe we are challenged with various moral, ethical dilemmas that we have, choices that we have to make in the middle of our day, because that's what life is. Life is constantly about meeting challenges that challenge us to make correct decisions or best decisions that we can. So the Budram making this whole gymnastics to get Mincha back to Adam HaRishon is to the moment after the sin, for a moment of reflection in the middle of the day, when it's easy for us not to reflect because of the great busyness that we're engaged in. Yeah.
So Mincha is to wake up the people.
Yeah. Mincha, in a sense, is to wake up the people. As Ira said, to cut you off, in a certain sense, from, you know, to take you off the, what's it called? The hamster wheel, you know, that, to get us off of that. Okay? So that's the Mincha for the Avodah. So we have Mincha connecting us to Eliyahu, which is about, you know, getting us out of the meh, as that's really where, faith and emunah and living vibrantly happens in the day-to-day part of life. Reflection. Right, from the Abu Drum. Let's take a third approach. Yeah. Yeah, that's a little bit too mystical for my taste, but okay, could very well be. Along these lines, along these lines, on the same page, on the top of the page, this is the Kli Yakar. Top of the page, the Kli Yakar says, Vayetzei Yitzchak Basuach Basadeh, commentary, Lamdu Mikan She Yitzchak Tikein Tfilas Mincha, we learned from this Pasuk that Yitzchak established Mincha, Shul Ifnos Erev Samach L'Erev Shemesh, which is close to the nighttime. The Ta'amo Shel Davar, the idea here is, Lefi Shemidas Hadin Mikatreg Dafka Balaila, God's attribute of justice is most prevalent at nighttime. V'Alkein, Tfilas Arvis Hasmucha L'Laila, and therefore Mariv is close to the nighttime. V'Chein Tfilas Shachris, and Shachris, which is in the morning, is also close to the nighttime. Aval Mincha Rachok Mishnei Leilos Alkein Ein Betfila Zu Shum Kategor. Says Mincha is the safest tefila to daven, because the nighttime is where God's mida, his attribute of justice, is most pronounced, and Mincha is the farthest from night.
That
from the Talmud. The Talmud discusses is why we say slichos. At the time that we say slichos, which is supposed to be early morning, not really supposed to say slichos at nighttime. The other things that we don't do at nighttime to reflect. We don't want to be coming up against God's attribute of justice. Okay, and maybe that's also a mystical approach. Yeah.
They're definitely mystical.
But practically, we tend to say Mincha pushing up. Just
pushing up, right. Yeah, so practically we might be undoing the Kli Yakar's view, right.
The concept of justice at night was the question that he was negotiating about stone, and then the next morning he was asking for rachamim, and that's why rachamim is associated with
chakras.
There's the contrast.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay, take a look at the Ksav HaKabbalah on the bottom of page 5. Ksav HaKabbalah says the following. Second. Yeah. Okay, so the Ksav HaKabbalah says the following. I'm going to go to the middle here. Okay, in the middle, it's four lines from the bottom. Umizeh ha'inyan kan lasuach basadeh perush la'asot esek b'tiul al hasadeh kidei lifnot machshavto min esek hayomi. The idea of lasuach basadeh means to walk in the fields. There's a whole strand in the commentators that the word lasuach doesn't mean speech. It comes from cholsiach hasadeh, the trees, the plants of the field. So lasuach basadeh on the one hand can mean the speech of prayer, but on the other hand it can mean to sort of walk amongst nature. Lasuach basadeh perush laasok esek b'tiyul al hasadeh. You walk in the field. Kidei lifnot machshavto, in order to clear your mind, min esek hayomi, from your day-to-day life. O mimasha nasa alav l'tarach l'masa, or whatever is causing you great anxiety or stress. Ve'avo gam kein shimush siach al tenua shetesayeh ha-nefesh al yideh ha-dibur. And prayer is also the ability to divest oneself of their anxieties, of their difficulties, of their challenges. This is a very psychological, insightful point here, that when a person speaks forth his problems, it alleviates his stress and alleviates his anxiety. And Oshi Hadibur Mahmatsar, whether he's speaking forth his troubles, but by speaking forth Asicha B'mar Nafshi, so he is able to minimize and to alleviate the stresses of life. Yeah.
Counseling.
Yes, yeah, it is precisely that, or at least just the act of speaking it forth.
Venting.
What?
Venting,
right? So you're venting to God.
So we've got a Freudian?
Yes. Right. It depends what God responds will determine whether he's Freudian or not. Right? But kula masos esek b'dibor kedei lahakel hamuchash ha'pnimi ha'atzum. This is in order to lighten, to lessen the that internal strife. And when you reflect on yourself, you're able to express your thoughts, your feelings, your ideas. And this is what is the meaning when it says that Yitzchak made tefillah, right? That's the mincha prayer specifically from the lashon siach is to speak forth. It's a way of unloading one's troubles, but that's true for all prayer. But what the Ksav HaKabbalah is saying is that this is somehow specifically connected to Mincha. And again, he's making the point that Mincha is the time of the day when you have, you're in the middle of your workday, when you have all your tzaras, when you have all your anxieties, and you have all your pressures, and you have everything upon you. That is specifically the time for Tefillah, in order to stop. To reconnect to the source and thus be free of much of the trials and travails. Okay, so all these, whether it's one way or another, they get to the fact that mincha is somehow the rough and tumble of life, and different perspectives. The purpose of davening at that particular time during that during that workday. All right, I want to do two more, and then bring it back to where we started, connecting it to Yitzchak. All right, so let's take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan on page 4. The Aruch HaShulchan on page 4. So the Aruch HaShulchan says the following. It's in the middle of the page. It starts in the middle. V'nimtza. V'nimtza shehamincha shel bein ha'arbayim hi havoda achrona shel hayom. Mincha is actually the last tefillah of the day. Not Maariv. right? Because the Jewish day starts at nighttime. So mincha is the last tefillah of the day. V'chaviva v'ritzuya kimo tefillas ne'ila b'yom kippur. Person should consider, it's like ne'ila, the end of Yom Kippur, that's, you know, the big hurrah, the last hurrah, that's mincha. Mincha has is chaviva uritzuya. It is beloved and accepted by God, like ne'ila on Yom Kippur. It's the last hurrah. It's the last licks. V'lachein azhu es haratzon. And he cites a pasuk from David HaMelech. And then skip down four lines before the end of the Aruch HaShulchan on the page. He cites our Abu Draham from before. And he doesn't like the Abu Draham's pshat. Because the Abu Draham said that it's about, you know, L'ruach Hayom, right? The Adam HaRishon. Says, Mincha is the time when the day is settling and quieting down. He said, if that's the case, it should be called Menucha, which means like rest, as the day is coming to its resting point. But in fact, if you follow the Abu Draham's view, connecting it to Adam HaRishon, it should be called Menucha. L'ruach Hayom is the day was coming to an end. Why we call it Mincha? Menucha would be the better word. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, Ach lefi zeh ha'ilanu l'krosa manoach. We should have called it Manoach, not Mincha. Mincha hu lashon matana. Mincha means a gift, right? The offering in the, where we started, the grain offering, that's a gift. It's a matana, right? A gift. Why is mincha a gift? So maybe it's a gift for all these reasons that we pointed out. It's a gift to us. But he says the following. There is a dispute, a halachic debate, about the nature of the mitzvah of tefillah. Is there a mitzvah at all to pray? Some say no. The only time there's a mitzvah to pray is if a person is in dire straits. That's what the Ramban says. If a person is in dire straits, then there's a mitzvah to pray to God. Otherwise, the mitzvah to pray is a rabbinic invention. But others suggest, like the Rambam, that the mitzvah to pray is every day, once a day. So if you pray in the morning, check that box and you move on. Right? I'm reminded of, I heard something in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that he once said, it's not that Jews don't want to pray, it's that Jews want to have already davened. Right? So there is a notion here of tefillah. You do it once a day, you do shacharis, check, you're done. So this is what the Aruch HaShulchan says. If that's the case, did tefillah d'oraisa rak pamachas bayom, if that's the case, when we come to mincha, and a person prays mincha, that's a gift. That's going way and above and beyond what you have to do. I did my obligation in the morning. I have already davened. But now I do something which is a gift to God, a matana. And that's like, in a certain way, doing what you're obligated to do is more profound. But in another way, offering something that you don't have to do is more profound. And especially offering something that you don't have to do in the middle of the day, all of these things that we pointed out. So mincha is a matana, says the Aruch HaShulchan. That's why it's called mincha, not menucha. Because mincha is a gift. And then finally, can I get here? A second. Let's go back to page one. Let's go back to page one. I think I was good to my word that these sources were out of order. So let's go back to page one. So Yitzchak creates mincha, and there is a midrash cited by Rabbi Yaakov Ibn Chaviv in his introduction to the Ein Yaakov. Now, I saw somewhere this midrash quoted as sourced in the Toras Kohanim, which is a collection of midrashim, but I couldn't actually find it. Doesn't mean it's not there, but I couldn't find it. But I did see somebody else who cited this this introduction to Ein Yaakov, who said that the Ein Yaakov is the source for this midrash, and there is no extant text that has this Talmudic midrash in it. Nevertheless, This is what the Medrash says. Ben Zoma Omer. There is a debate amongst three of the rabbis. What is the what's the most powerful? What's the pasuk that most accurately or most all-inclusively collects the basic ethos, tenet, principles of Judaism? So Ben Zoma says, I found the pasuk. It's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ben Nana Omer, Matzinu Pasuk Kolel, I found another pasuk, a different one, and it's even better. Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself. Ben Pazi says, I found an even more inclusive verse, Matzinu Pasuk Kolel, a better one. And it is, get this, the first lamb you shall sacrifice in the morning, and the second lamb you shall sacrifice in the evening. So which of these is considered the authoritative one? Amar Rav Ploni al Raglav, one of the rabbis, got up and said, Halacha ke Ben Pazi. The halacha accords with Ben Pazi, that the most, I don't know what the adjective here, the most inclusive pasuk in the Torah is not love your neighbors yourself, not Hashem is one, but rather es hakeves echad taseh baboker, es hakeves hasheni taseh ben arbayim. You give a carbon in the morning and a carbon in the afternoon. That's the most inclusive pasuk, and that's the one the rabbi said halacha keben pazi. So, I mean, I think at this point you might be able to intuit where we're going with it, but. Anybody want to have any thoughts? Why this should be the most inclusive, most important?
It's about the day-to-day following the behavior you're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's about the day-to-day following through, persistent consistency. That's what makes things happen. There was a guy I was speaking to somebody recently, and he said I have a great idea, but I'm not a follow through guy, so you're gonna have to follow through. There's one thing to have great ideas, and those are important. Without good ideas, you don't have follow-through. But without follow-through, ideas tend to sputter. So the Maharal, on page 2, in his Nesivos Olam, says, in essence, Ben Zoma, the explanation of Ben Zoma, is more inclusive than the other verses because it emphasizes that a person should serve God with constancy as a servant. And therefore, the verse referring to the Tamid sacrifice, which was offered every morning and evening, is the basis of the Torah. And in this way, it becomes clear how great love is for your neighbor, because it is inclusive in the verse in the Torah. It's one thing to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad when a person is, has to give up their life, for God. And I'm not minimizing that at all. But it might be even more profound for a person to live day to day, because that's day in and day out. A person maybe has the capability to rise for a moment and be and have an extraordinary moment, and that moment is unqualifiedly extraordinary. But it might even be more profound to live a day to day life in an extraordinary fashion, and that's the karban in the morning, the karban in the evening. And I would just sort of argue, based on everything that we've seen here, that mincha is even more so than shacharis, because shacharis is that profound moment of awakening, and mincha is the day-to-day drudgery of life. So this all brings us back to our opening pasuk here, and our opening pasuk is that Yitzchak, it says, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh, on the top of page 1 of your booklet, that Yitzchak went out to Lasuach Basadeh, which either means to converse, or it means to meditate, or to pray, or to whatever. But the rabbis say it means, this is where we get mincha from. Yitzchak made the second prayer of the day, mincha. So, you gotta wonder, what is it about mincha accords with Yitzchak? Or is it just a coincidence? So Yitzchak made mincha. So this is for an entire other shir, but But don't take it on my word, but take it on my word that Yitzchak, his life was about continuing Avraham's work. Avraham was Shachris. Avraham founded something amazing. He had an extraordinary insight, and he was the guy with the idea. I mean, not just the idea, but he was the guy with the idea. But Yitzchak's sort of role was continuing that idea. Continuing the idea after, you know, every revolution, the American Revolution. So the first probably one, two, three generations after the founding of the United States of America, I would suspect that on July 4th, or even not on July 4th, probably the ethos of the regular people was probably far more consciously patriotic on a day-to-day level and aware of their patriotism than maybe we are. Because, you know, we're living 250 years later with, not that you don't have to fight for liberty in every generation, but it's a different kind of fight. The fight you have to do now is the fight of, you know, making sure that you don't lose your liberty, right? But the founding generation, you know, there was the excitement of the creation of something extraordinary. And it's true in every revolutionary movement, and it's true with Avraham Avinu as well. Avraham Avinu was the founder. He was the creator. He was the idea. He was the excitement. Yitzchak's role, Yitzchak is just moving it forward, continuation, just plotting forward and bridging from one generation to the next. And that's Yitzchak. And I would argue that the context in which we find Yitzchak praying Mincha, and Mincha is that prayer of, you know, just plotting forward day in and day out, is in the context of what's the next pasuk after we find him praying? Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. He meets his bashert, right? So next time you have to speak at a shavar brachos, you can use this pasuk, because mincha is the prayer that sort of introduces marriage here. Right? Marriage, you know, marriage isn't a wedding. A wedding is the wedding. And that's exciting and fun and amazing. But the marriage is mincha. It's every single day going on and on, even when it's not exciting. Maybe some people have 120 years of an exciting marriage, and God bless them. But I think for most people, you know, it's a relationship which demands, you know, continued work, continued effort, and it has plenty of times that are not shachris, and they don't have the excitement of shachris or the profound moments of even marv. But that's really the essence of a tefillah that the Talmud says have zahir. Be so careful to pray that prayer, because that's the kind of prayer that God answers to, the one which is just moving forward. Moments of inspiration are amazing, but the thing that God really responds to, apparently, is Yitzchak's prayer, the prayer of Mincha, the prayer of marriage, the moment of Adam Arishon recognizing that after the sin, that there's a moment of recognition and reflection. Reflection is something that happens over a period of time. Eliyahu running away. After the miracle, that's he's running away. The mincha reminds us again of that, just the consistency, the continuously, the soft moments of life. And mincha is in fact a matana. Mincha is a gift, because if a person is able to cull within themselves the wherewithal to do all that, that is truly offering a gift, whether it's a gift to their spouse or in the context of prayer, a gift to God. That is the gift of Mincha. And we'll pause here. Okay.